The agenda for today is City Community Dialogue, Friday, July 26th, on police and law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, I used to wait for that, but do that, I thought that was pretty good.
I did too, this was a great approval, yeah. Vice President. May I welcome all those who have not been here before, and who will be here again, of course. Take 5 minutes, please, and read the minutes, look at the agenda, be ready to react in about 5. Anyone does not have the minutes? All the agendas, no one needs minutes? On the minutes, I recognize Glenn first. On the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to ask if we could help the people around, the people identify themselves for everyone, because we have many people who are needed for dialogue today.
All right, we certainly will. Any comments on the minutes first? Yes. Third paragraph from the bottom. And what is your observation now?
It wasn't me.
Do you mean it should have been Mrs. instead of Mr.?
No, it shouldn't be there. Someone else said it.
All right, let's see what somebody else said. Mr. Donahad, is like Donahad. Your friend is that Mr. Donahad.
I was
going to
make
that. Oh, you were the one, Mrs. Moira Hesh. You make a note, please, it was Mrs. Hesh there, and Secretary, please, note.
And again, I'm
Moira Hesh. Hesh, H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S-H-E-S- official maker of the statement. The minutes are the official minutes, but these are records.
Quite accurate.
It's sufficient if we change from Mr. to Mrs. and put Nero Hedge there. All right, now.
Page 9, the third paragraph at the bottom again.
Third paragraph again from the bottom. Mrs. Hatch. Oh, that should be Hatch again. Nero, if you look over that paragraph on page 9 and see if we change. The Mrs. is correct this time. We'll change that. Is that sufficient to cover your idea?
Yes.
All right. Any other comments on the minutes? If not, the minutes will, the record here will be received with those corrections. Before we have those introduce themselves to us here, Mrs. Chacon, you made a correction a couple of weeks ago in our regular meeting, and you were to get with Mary or Susie or one of the interim committees and be sure that your statement was put into there. Is it satisfactory? Did you
have it? I haven't done it yet. I haven't been there this week.
All right, but you are aware that that will go in properly.
Thank you.
All right, before getting to the agenda and having those around the table introduce themselves, let me go over those who called to say they couldn't be here. Supervisor DeGraff Austin called that he would not be able to attend because he was out of town. Supervisor Dent let us know he might not make it, but he is here. Supervisor's cousin also called to say that he had another engagement today and he could not make it, otherwise he would have been here. The mayor might be in later, Mr. Bud Plage,
right,
sitting in for him for the time being. and who else mentioned to me earlier?
Oh,
Mr. Ted Marr is not here. Is this in the city in for him?
No, Mr. Yes, sir.
Judge, I just read the minutes, finished reading the minutes, and I would like to have a correction made on the statement.
Page.
On 7.
We're back to page 7 on the minutes.
Respectively advised about toward the bottom of the first paragraph. It says, he felt the committee is sterile, referring to the advisory committee non-existent. I did not say that committee was sterile. I don't know anything about that committee. I said any committee, any advisory committee, which in effect is selected for the purpose only of advising on that which is already decided, which is sterile. But this committee, I don't know anything about the committee there, and I did not say that committee was sterile. I was speaking of the process being sterile.
All right. Can you make a bishop note of that, please? Maybe that would satisfy judges. Correction.
I'm not directing to any particular process.
Process of any committee. All right. Any other comments now on minutes? We have the interim committee is finally moving into gear properly, evidently, because the letters did get out. We have many of those invited sitting here today. One of the committee members has noticed that many are here. And before beginning, may I ask you to sit at this end of the table and go around so that we will know who's here today in terms of the subject to be discussed and invitation.
Inspector Jim Canole with San Diego Police Department.
Joe O'Connor, Sheriff, San Diego County. Bud Place, Assistant to Mayor Kern.
Bud Biggie, Personnel Director, City of San Diego.
John Gallo, Personnel Analyst, County of San Diego.
John Quimby, Small Business Administration.
Dave Doxley.
Elmer Keshker, Foreman of the Maury, Chief Minister of Law.
George Stevens.
Maynell Wilhelms, Assistant City Manager.
Ralph Foss, Civil Service Commission.
Bob Dent, County Supervisor.
Ed Butler, City Attorney.
Warren Kennedy, Chief Deputy Sheriff's Office.
Mike Amador, Community Action Council, Harbor Area.
We have one or two others that should mention who they're here. Talk with you, Keller.
I'm Keller, District Attorney. Sergeant Augustine, San Diego Police Department. Lieutenant Don Davis, San Diego Police Department.
Are there others who are sitting in for anyone?
George Hall is up.
I did.
George Hall is up.
Where's George Hall? Oh, George Hall is out there, yes. George?
Are you back somewhere?
Did you have...
It's all right, I'll take you for...
Thinking sit on the table over here.
Always. I'm still growing.
George Hall from the school. This is the superintendent of the school. One chair is coming in for you, George.
This is Kerry Fox from my office, who's in charge of false arrests, false imprisonment, and malicious prosecution cases.
Kerry? Ruben Dominguez from DOC. Others that should be noted. Well, John Billings, when he's here now. He's two of us, the Commission on Human Relations. That's correct. Human Relations Council, I think, is the top. Oh, Commission. Human Relations Commission. Two of us who was here last week. And your chairman, board chairman, and Mrs. Langford, and the other lady, what's her name?
Mrs. Allen.
Mrs. Allen, who was here last week. My bad memory, Mrs. Allen. Did we get Ralph Hall? Ralph? Hodge? Oh, yes. Supervisor out there? Oh, no, Sam Laughlin, City Councilman. He's out there. Running out of chairs, would you come in, please, Mr. Laughlin? We'll be here in a minute, please. Following that note, Chief of Police will try to be here, maybe here a little later. Councilman Tom Hum is out of town. Mike Schaefer will try to be here.
Mercy.
This is the family is present of the President of the County Civil Service Commission here?
Yes.
President of
So we get the agenda before us. Go over the items, cover an item or two about it from the agenda committee. Our interim committee discussion of the image of law enforcement agencies in the minority community. A, immediate promotion of minorities to change this image. B, explanation of recruitment and testing methods. C, sensitivity to the minority community by other than the community relations section. 2, establishment of a police review board. Note at the bottom, the tentative agenda for the dialogue of 2 weeks from now will include sensitivity training for teachers, the ESL program, and the proposed inner city program of the San Diego City Schools. For those that are not here in regular attendance, there are 2 or 3 rules that we observe. I'd like to make note of them now, so as we start, everyone will be aware of them. The first rule is that we're here to be honest, frank, open, with one understanding, that we're here to understand and seek knowledge, try to solve a problem by talking about it directly and honestly. Part of that, though, is that we are not here to castigate individuals or characters. We stay away from the individual personalities and rather talk to an issue, a principle, or a position, as opposed to chopping up and cutting up individuals. We are not here for that. That's a standard rule that we set up over a year ago and we still observe. Now and then we do get off. Last week we got off a couple of times. And if we get off today, not only is the chair responsible for bringing us back, but each here is also responsible for getting it off the individual back to the position or the issue involved. That's very important. And the other is that those who are responding are to respond in terms of the process that we are engaged in, rather than to feel that individually you must defend a particular point. If you wish to defend it, that's all right, of course, but you are here to get into this process that we have going in terms of people meeting, trying to solve some problems and looking at those problems as they are. Those conditions are essential to our continued good discussion. So with that, shall we then get to the agenda?
Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to ask one question. Is the Chief of Police of San Diego City here, and why isn't he?
No, he... I read a minute ago that he will try to be here, but Inspector is here in his place for the time being, and he will try to be here. Did you want to make any note on that, Inspector Canole?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm very happy you raised that question. You know, I wouldn't even know the Chief of Police in San Diego if I saw him on the street. I would like to meet him. So I think it's very relevant, this question I'm raising, is that he exposed himself to the people.
If he's in another meeting with George this morning.
Right, Mr. Chairman, we've been dialoguing for a year and a half and I haven't met him yet.
All right. This one. He didn't make this. Some of the other dialogues.
He has never been at this dialogue, Mr. Chairman, to my knowledge.
He
has attended this dialogue.
You say he has?
I have been here. You could check the records, I think. Yeah.
Well, we'll make note of the fact that it was raised again this morning, and they note that Inspector Canole that he was in a meeting and will try to be here if he gets out of the other meeting early enough. All right, we're open then for pursuing the agenda. Another comment from me, then I'll shut up, since my job is the referee. But in setting the tone, we should review for a moment, it seems to me, how this whole thing has come about in terms of the agenda today. Back in February, the committee met and set up a list of priority items after several weeks of meetings to look at all of the things that so many people wanted to talk about. And at that time, the NAACP representatives and others prepared a list of items they considered of high importance. One of those items included a total look at the police function, law enforcement agencies. And since that time, we have taken those items in the order, the education, the school system and its program. And the other item on there that we started was the business of MACE, the police department, the sheriff's department, law enforcement agencies. We got off of it because of these other important items. At that time then, we started and had one full session on the use of MACE, and that's just an example, and other tools within the police department or law enforcement agencies. Some in the police department were going on vacation and couldn't be here for a while, so we went into the item on education. Now we're back to this, and that's why we have it today as it is. We can pick up there and continue with looking at the role, or as the agenda puts it, the image of law enforcement agencies in the minority community. That is not confined to the San Diego Police Department, that covers the Sheriff's Department as well. And you're here today to simply get involved in that process. It's open for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, take a clarification first on the agenda here. Under 1, and you have A, B, C. And under A, it says, under 1, rather, it says B, explanation of recruitment and testing. No, let me get to that one. No, I'm all set. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Okay. Leon, you should be in here too. I know it's crowded this morning. It's one of the official dialoguers. I see, who's that right behind you? Bob Lehman? Leon, you have a seat over here. Leon, you have a seat over here. I know you're telling me to shut up, but. The fire inspector here this morning. All right, we'll try to go.
Sure.
Yes.
I think maybe the agenda committee or someone can work this out. It would seem that the official dialoguers should always be able to have a seat, since the interaction, even though it's you want as many as possible here, I think it would be difficult if the police chief had to come and stand outside or throw a college stand outside and we're talking about police problems and school problems. That somehow either one side could be roped off or something, so the official dialogue is always here, and then the spectators or first time here could come in perhaps at a later time to get too big, and somehow you may have to decide what to do about it. But
well, that's the interim committee. I thought they worked it out pretty well. They probably got a little mixed up this morning.
But for today, I think at least all the official dialoguers should be seated and should be in here.
I concur with the chairman, because we lose the effectivity of debate here. I'm certainly appreciative of those who do consider their time to come. But some of the people that are here, we must accept the fact that they were irrelevant to the dialogue as related to other than them receiving information, which is very good, but yet it doesn't add that much to the dialogue.
May I suggest a bigger room?
Well, we've gone through that, and that's why I want to get back into it, but just not much today.
The invitations are going out every day, and I believe we're going to have a bigger crowd, bigger and bigger.
Well, the Inter Committee is handling all of that. We've covered so much about that. How many more out there that should be in? Bob?
About five.
About five. Dr. Hall? Let me leave it to the good conscience of some of those that are sitting before I arbitrarily volunteer your seat. If I may ask those who are here just visiting, if I can ask if you would graciously give up your seats for some of the official dialoguers, we would appreciate it. Is it already somebody bringing it in? We'll have a few seats shortly. Some more chairs are going to be brought in. So when the chairs come in, some of you come back in. Coming in now. Vivian? The Interim Committee met to consider
Carol,
consider this whole physical business here. I would simply suggest to the Interim Committee, as you look at the additional invitees, that you make up additional nameplates and put them all on one side so as to reserve the additional chairs. And maybe we won't get into this as far as inside the room is concerned. We will have the same problem of those who come and can't get in, but at least we would avoid part of it. So let's move on in spite of all that. So we start all over now at 9:30. We're back to the agenda. Any comments to start the discussion on the agenda? Ed?
Sure. The topic here is discussion of image of law enforcement agencies in the minority communities. The three subheads immediately suggest that that's a lousy image because they say immediate promotion of minorities to change this image, which to me points up that somebody thinks the image is bad and requires to be changed. In the year in which I participated in this dialogue and the 2 years in which I've been talking with groups and otherwise, it's been my experience that inevitably that I, as a part of law enforcement, am beat over the head continuously and constantly in any meeting or discussion or speech that I make on the subject. And I'm puzzled as to why not only the minority community but a large part of the majority community continues to look upon law enforcement as the agency or the enforcement of white racism, with the thought that if it could somehow be changed, as these three subheadings do, that suddenly the racism disappears and we all move into that wonderful world of tomorrow. And I suggest to you that that isn't so.
Mr. Chairman?
Hand over here first.
I would comment, I think, in reply, Ed, that I don't believe any of us feel the whole situation is going to change if we could just change the attitude of the police department. I would also, I think, go on to comment that in the last 2 weeks, I've just been keeping an informal poll of people I've seen stopped by police departments in various places around town. Of that number, I've seen 21. Of that number, 12 were members of minority groups and 6 were long-haired types. And certainly, these two segments of our community don't represent an overwhelming majority of the lawlessness in our community. The feeling on the part of the community is that there's undue harassment going on, that these people are singled out, and that there's a feeling that they're being repressed.
In response to that, in the last 2 weeks, 12,840 drivers in the city of San Diego received hazardous driving violations. Are you suggesting of those 12,840 individuals that all were minorities or hippies?
No. What I'm saying is that those who were stopped, interrogated, maybe not written tickets, but subjected to interrogation, an disproportionate number of them are members of minority groups or the hippie type.
240,000 hazardous driving violation tickets were issued last year by the San Diego Police Department. 9,000 plus drunk driving arrests were made. We're not persuaded, looking at our statistics in this whole area here, that there's any preferential or discriminatory treatment with respect to minorities, whites, or otherwise, in that area of law enforcement, looking at the statistics. And I'm curious about, once again, the random observation, which I respectfully suggest you just made, which tends to feed a fuel or a fire, or tends to feed the impression, or this image that you're going to be talking about here, that law enforcement is a group of jackbooted stormtroopers who are interested in the continued suppression of the minority. And I'd like to see ourselves addressed to that image, if that is the image. And I suspect that is the image in most people's minds in this room, that law enforcement are stormtroopers here.
I'd like to hold up, George.
I believe the judge had a technical point he wanted to make in response to the attorney, so I'll yield to the judge in that. Like,
not too technical, but it is. I would say, Ed, that's lawyer's talk. You're now reading statistics which don't prove a thing. The fact is that such an image exists. Immediately, the question isn't whether it should exist or not. The fact is, it does exist. It may exist erroneously. There may be no basis for it, or there may be a basis for it. You know, and I know, and we all know that such an image exists. So you have to direct your attention to that fact.
Would you postulate the image for the judge, or articulate it and put it on the table so we can see what image we're talking about if we're to address ourselves? Let me do that, please.
We all have images. I'm saying that there is a negative image. Each one may express their own definition of what that negative image is. This is a reality. This is a fact. The existence of this image is a fact to which somebody must address their attention. If there is no basis for that image, then in some way or another, we must get that on the table and have that accepted by those who have the negative image.
Well,
if there is a basis,
we should get
that on the table.
So we can get this image, then, if we stick to it, image that we're talking about, George.
My point. Mr. Chairman, the image is this. The man is everywhere. The man is everywhere. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying when I say the man is everywhere. No matter where the blood goes, the man is looking at him. No matter what he does, the man is looking at him. Wherever he goes, the man is there. Now, the man that comes to confront him most is the police department, because he doesn't even have to leave the ghetto to see the man in the police uniform. You asked the question about what you perceive, Ed, as the police carrying out a racist attitude of the people. The police are the only ones to carry out, because that's the only contact from the white community many times to many blacks. Now, this image that he has came up under himself, let me give you an attitude. At one time, when I was in college, the cats who flunked out of school went to work for the police department. The ones who flunked out of college, they went to work. That was, to them, was achievement to show how great thou art. The other cats were the guys who wanted to get on there, was cats who used to practice slinging their guns in Texas and Oklahoma. They were Southern boys. They were used to that farm set, where they used to draw pistols and have shooting matches and drawing, see who could draw the fastest. This cat got on the police force. Now, the kid continued that attitude, which was basically a racist attitude, because this was a gunslinger tamed the West. Now, you can't tame white people, see. In the West, they only tame Indians, you know, and them cats who were real bad rebels, see. But that same image is in Southeast San Diego. This now, we're the Indians now, see. That was the original West. The black cat's the Indian. So he comes down there, and here comes the man, see, because he can take advantage of a situation without any repercussions to him. Because, see, history has proven that the policeman don't catch hell if he, no matter how he treats a black man, you see. many cases dating back to this on your files now that relates to what I'm saying here. So it's the image that's being built up. In other words, this people in investigations, in arrest procedures, citizens are not all stupid to the law. Some of them are very much intelligent as related to right and wrong. Now, forget the law. Let's speak of right and wrong. He know whether or not his car was hit on one side or the other. I had a man tell me yesterday, the police convinced him that the car wasn't even hit on the side it got hit on. In the accident, in the report where they repaired it, said it was hit on that side. You see, but in the investigation report, it says, you came from one lane over to here, and you ran into another individual. And the person himself contended that, no, the individual ran in the right-hand lane all the way and made a right-hand turn. And when he went to make a right-hand turn, he then hit the individual. So it was suggested by the officer who was not on the scene at the time that he must have changed lanes and hit the other fellow who was in the right-hand lane. Now, the point is this. The officer proved to him that you're stupid. There's something wrong with you because it couldn't happen that way. No, it's not possible. Well, this individual concedes himself that, you know, where in the hell he know what happened. He was there. But any time officers try to prove that what they're doing is right, they have the authority. And that's why I asked the gentleman to stand up in the false arrest section. There's no such thing as a false arrest. Every time you book a cat, you got a code to book him by. There's no such thing as innocent until proven guilty. That's the biggest lie in this country. If you get picked up, you got to prove that you didn't do it. That officer said it. Your butt goes to jail and you pay a fine. Now let's get off that fence. See, this is the image.
All right, hold it right there, Estelle.
I'm surprised that we're starting with statistics again because this Mr. Butler handled them so well when we were talking about education the other day. And I think if we start statistics and not the word image.
That was on your side last time.
So, I think we should stick to the word image, not statistics.
Ed, did you want to reply to your reply a few weeks ago and what Estelle just said?
I think you better not, maybe.
I know.
That's all. We're sorry. That's really talking two different
for those who are not in on this, let me recap for a second because I think it is important. 2 weeks ago, we started with statistics. We had all charts in front of us, beautiful statistics on the dropout and withholding power and holding power, and we were getting all bogged down in statistics. It was Ed, to which you just alluded, it was Ed who then turned to Dr. Hall, where is Dr. Hall? Dr. Hall, and asked, if I may paraphrase it, but I think this is the essence, George, why do we need statistics to prove the obvious? Is that sufficiently, Ed, quoting you?
Mm. In that
it
context.
Is. And at that point, we were able then to move on beyond these statistics and get at this that we're talking about now, the truth or the image or the realities of the perception. And Ed was just caught in that web by Estelle, who pointed it out. Ed, I would suggest you don't reply to that. Bill?
One thing I'd like to say in the first place, I think we have a pretty good police force. I think that the officers are conscientious and intelligent and trying like crazy to get someplace. But obviously they're missing the bolt. And I want to read to you from the Sentinel of June 13th. I'm sure the officers are aware of what I'm going to read. And I'm going to excerpt it. But what happened was an editor wanted to take some pictures of the Ford commercial being filmed on the beach, Pacific Beach. Seeing that I wasn't going to yield, the policeman walked to his motorcycle and called for another unit. I shot a picture of him as he called in. Then he walked back over to me and we just stood there staring at each other, him suggesting that I leave and me reaffirming that I was here to stay. I'm going to take you to jail and book you, he threatened. There must be something to book you on. I held my ground, curious as to what the charge would be. It was more silent. Finally, I decided to go back to the car and get my telephoto lens for a close-up shot. I wouldn't move if I were you. You're under arrest, the officer said. What's the charge, I asked. Petty theft. We'll start with that, he said. I couldn't say that I understood what shooting pictures had to do with petty theft, but it looked like I was going to have to stay around a while and find out. You mean that if I walk away from here now, you're going to tell me I'm resisting arrest? I asked. That's what I mean, he said. Finally, his friend came along in a patrol car. They huddled a couple feet away, and I reeled around for another shot of them. Then the new policeman walked over, and the questions started again. He asked for more for some identification. I gave it to him. Then more questions and no answers. Listen, pardon the blank, but we can't report what he called me like he said it, he said. Why don't you take your camera and get out of here? I'm going to take you to jail. Well, the man didn't go to jail. But I think that in spite of the fact that I'm sure the police department is embarrassed as hell about this whole episode, it points out the fact that there are policemen on the force who still do not get the idea that they are protecting the people of San Diego instead of special interests.
Yeah, I'd like to add just a word from Adam Nelson from SBA. I think probably this image of the police department stems from the fact that probably through their training or orders, either they're becoming overzealous or else they just don't listen to any reason. Now, on a personal basis, one of the few times in 45 years I've been driving, I've got a rash of tickets recently because since you took the guys off the freeway, there's one behind you everywhere you go. And there was a case on the way home a couple of days ago. My car was on fire, at least the wires were burning, and I had to go through, not a light, but I went through a sign that says turn left. If I had turned left, I had to come all the way back downtown. So I was going to a filling station to see if I could settle this emergency. And of course, the officer said, I see you, you know, you're on fire, you're in trouble, but the ordinance says you get a ticket for this. So I said, well, this is one thing that I'll have to take to court. So I went down to court yesterday and spent the whole day in court. The judge threw it out. But the point is, this shows you how ridiculous it can be. No room for judgment whatsoever. I have an emergency situation. I explained it to the officer, and I said, here, you can see, I can smell the burning here. And I'm sorry, that's fine. You just have to get that fixed, but you get a ticket. And so I went down to court with it yesterday, and the judge threw it out. But this is the kind of harassment you can receive, and there's no room for judgment whatsoever. You think the officer would at least be sympathetic if you're in a difficult situation.
Art, you wanted to respond earlier.
Yes, I wanted to respond to an attitude that was expressed when I made my first statement. A comment came in response, wondering why I used this kind of thing to claim and incite. And it seems to me, upon reflection, that this is like saying that if you go to a doctor and the doctor says you've got cancer, then the doctor's caused cancer. All I was trying to do was reflect the situation as I see it. Now, if it is something that may inflame and incite, this is unfortunate. But I think it's still a problem that has to be dealt with. And it seems to me that this is also one of the reflections of a general white attitude that doesn't want to cope with the problem or admit that it exists.
Can I respond to something here? Going back to one statement here. If you read an article in the newspaper, I wish you would also read the follow-up article printed by the Union Tribune, in which they clarify the officer was reprimanded for his poor judgment in this case out there with a photographer.
I understand.
We do recognize that we will make mistakes and there is action taken when it is done.
What I'm concerned with is where the officer felt that he had the right to act in this way.
Mr. Chairman, I think what's relevant is an image. See, what he said about reprimand is irrelevant to the subject we're discussing. We're discussing image. Regardless of what happens after that, he still left a certain image.
Right. And have you set up a program to attempt to eliminate this sort of attitude among officers so this sort of thing doesn't keep recurring?
Absolutely. I think a reprimand is a very good training tool. It always has been and always will be.
And you think this will solve any recurrence of the problem?
It's not going to solve it completely. It can never solve it completely. It's sure going to help. It's going to reduce the number of incidents, absolutely.
I think there are other ways available to go well beyond just disciplining the one man here.
What are you suggesting, Finn?
Well, a while back on TV, the Houston Police program of dialogue, just for openers, this has been discussed. It's been quite visible for about a year. Houston's had this program. It just hit national TV within the last month. I believe this is something that the local police department, perhaps even the sheriff's department, that is having so much trouble recruiting minority policemen, ought to examine. I think the area sometimes misnamed sensitivity training could very usefully be explored by the police department.
All right. Maybe later on we'll get into some other kinds of ideas and suggestions here. I saw Anderson's hand first, then yours, Leon.
I'd like to talk 2 points here. We'll go back about 3 months, just prior to school closing. The Black Student Conference gave a sort of a rally or get together out on Mountain View Park here. And I think that went off very well. But I was in the area, and it is my job to circle the community and check to see, you know, if any trouble starts or anything like that. So right at 40th and Imperial, I came upon about 7 police patrol cars in one area. This is about a block and a half from the park. And I was very interested to know why they were there. But I didn't stop at that point. I went around the park. I circled the entire park. And in an area of about 2 or 3 blocks in either direction of the park, there were patrol cars stationed all around. So what I did was I went back to the first group of police cars I seen, and then I talked to the lieutenant in charge, and I asked him, what was his reason for staking out the park? And he said, well, we're not actually staking out the park. We're just giving daily reports. So I wanted to know why. I wanted to know why we have 7 police cars. Now, you'll never see 7 police cars at Mountain View Cemetery, wherever that place is, the name of it, at any given time, even on Sundays. And this is when all the young adults go down to the park and have a good time. You might see 2 cars at most at any given point, because there were 7. So I asked him, I said, what's the reason for all of these cars? He said, well, all the patrolmen come in at about 1 o'clock and we get the reports from here. I said, well, what about the other 5 you got stationed around the park in the other area? And I said, why do you need a walkie-talkie field glass? So he went on to tell me that every day at this particular time, all the cars come in and he takes the reports and then he go back downtown with them. So I wanted to know, he asked me, don't you think we have a right to be here? I said, yeah, you have a right to be here, but I want to know why. He said, well, we didn't ask the kids why they didn't go to school today. I said, frankly, that's not your business. I said, that's a matter for the Board of Education or the Juvenile Authority. I said, what I'm interested in is to know why you have the park staked out and why you have all these police cars here. And you tell me that this is the regular routine. I said, I'm here every day. I said, I never see more than 2 cars here. So then he went on to tell me that the city of San Diego vested the power in him to patrol the area and all this kind of stuff. And I told him, frankly, I wasn't interested in that. I just wanted to know why. You had 7 patrol cars here. There was no disturbance. No one had made any attempt to cause any trouble, because I think that the Black Student Conference should be given a big hand for taking a project like this and keeping it under control. The whole entire day, no incidents occurred, but the cars remained. Now, I'll take you back about a month ago. I was driving down Imperial. There was a woman standing on the corner of 30th and Imperial with a big cut right down her forehead, here, down her face. And about a block away, no, 2 blocks away, on 32nd and Imperial, there was a patrol car parked on the corner with 2 officers in it. So I drove up to the car and I said, hey, there's a woman on the corner back there with a face cut up. And so one of the officers looked at me and he said, yeah, we know. I said, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, we got to wait for some help. I said, man, this woman is bleeding back here. He said, yeah, but we can't move until we get help. I said, okay. I drove 2 blocks down. There were 3 patrol cars giving one man a ticket. This is the image. Right. I mean, erroneous as it may seem, but this is what we get.
I'm still talking about images then. Beyond.
Yeah.
back to the newspaper article.
Loudly, honestly.
Back to the newspaper article. I think that that what's significant in this case is that the way I think the community will perceive it is that this was called to the attention of the police because the person involved has power. He had the means to say to the police department, the community, look, this is what happened to me. There had been images, almost any black person or many other kinds of persons, this would not have come to the police department's attention. So it goes on, and I think it gets back to the original question, why would the man believe he could do that kind of thing? Because in many, many instances, his experience is that he can do it, because it's to whom he is doing it. And then eventually, or occasionally, he comes upon someone who makes a big loud noise, and then, you know, something, maybe gets a disciplinary action. But if he, when his experience is such that he doesn't, then of course this is why he can do it in these kinds of cases. That's an inference on my part, but it's also the protection of the community.
George, hold up, Leon Lowry.
Well, I'm just wondering, maybe the inspector would want to respond to that in some way. Why does he think the policeman would have that attitude? That is, why he thinks, why would he do that in that case?
Well, very frankly, I would have to assume that he was probably pretty confused, as I would be at this point, as to any legal action you could take to prevent somebody from taking a picture.
Why would he think he had to take legal action to prevent somebody from taking a picture? Why would it even cross his mind unless the law was clear on it?
Well, because I think, Judge, that you have new cars coming out every year. They guard these things very closely.
Who guards
this
them?
Man,
where is the law that says you guard the new cars?
The police department.
No, this man was paid by the company. He was off duty, and the city has reimbursed for his salary. He was
in uniform.
And he was not paid by the city that day. But the point is.
Call another unit?
I don't think it was clear. They misunderstood you. Just a moment. They can't hear what's
right.
Being said up here. In fact, now you didn't finish.
The man was paid by the company. Not the city. The city is reimbursed for his salary, and this is not uncommon. When you have to set up traffic or crowd control, the city taxpayer should not have to pay for this service, and I think that the city administration agrees on this point. The companies taking the pictures, causing the traffic confusion and so on, they're the ones that should rightfully pay for the service. You cannot go out there and put a man in plain clothes and get the same type of service. The taxpayer does not pay for this.
Was he an officer?
He was an officer.
He was
in
an officer
uniform?
At that time, was he an officer on official duty at that time?
He's an officer 24 hours a day.
In uniform. Who pays for him? He's a police officer of the San Diego City Police.
Main badge and everything.
Let's see now, could we clear up this one point?
I'm very confused because from what the inspector is saying, this leads me to believe that any individual who may have a traffic problem or another problem can go out and rent a policeman. I'm wondering if this is correct or if you would like to elaborate on this a little bit.
No, I don't know about this. Just like to say that again, when you have a problem that can be created by the movie companies, it's not uncommon for, say, Warner Brothers to come down here and shoot scenes for a movie. You're going to have to block certain intersections. You're going to have to divert traffic around certain areas. It's all approved prior to the police department becoming involved. When they do become involved, it was felt by the administration the taxpayer should not pay for the burdens created by these outside agencies. Therefore, the man works as a police officer, but his salary is paid by that company. It goes back to the city. The city pays the man's salary, but the city is reimbursed for the officer's service. And this, in effect, is saving the taxpayers the cost of setting up traffic control around these types of things. That's all that amounts to.
wouldn't be.
But you cannot go out and rent a policeman. No, this is not
fair. Mr. Chairman, but the discretion, he would use the same discretion.
Run it, George.
Well, I'm wondering then why is this used as a revenue device by the city? Because it would seem to me that these companies could go to the private patrol agencies, such as we see at all the football games and other large gatherings that are much larger than a filming incident on the beach. And why wouldn't they do this? It seems to me that since the San Diego Police Department is understaffed compared to many other large cities, that probably this isn't the best use of the police to be renting them out to automotive giants such as Ford, Chrysler, or whoever you do business with at the moment.
Bear in mind, the man that is off duty is not on duty being paid by the city at this time. This is something you have to distinguish. He is not on duty as an officer. He is on his own time.
So why is he wearing a uniform?
Traffic control. You can't put a man in civilian clothes. A private patrolman has no legal right to go out and direct traffic on the highway. This is part of the vehicle code.
I think what they're trying to say is the officer, for practical purposes, for everybody else, is an official city policeman functioning. That's image. He walks up, he has uniform on. Is this what you're saying? And he performed in that role. And the article here, as I reread some of it, simply referred to him as a police officer. Well, wait a minute. And he was clarifying that while all that is still so, he was being paid by Ford Company. I assume it was Ford here, says. All right. Did you want to clarify part of that, Milt?
I am concerned here about eyebrows are being raised concerning a possible policy. This is nothing that's unusual. It's done everywhere. I think the alternative of trying to employ people who are not trained and skilled in the police, no matter what their image is worse. We're doing the best we can to train people, and we've got many legal problems. The thing that's being missed here is that the man was not paid to protect Ford Motor Company and protect their cars. And at some point, somebody made this statement. The man was being paid for traffic enforcement. And this policy is not an unusual thing. But the traffic enforcement problem was caused not by usual traffic, but the very fact that here was an unusual situation. To the extent of the privacy that was being placed, it's already been said the man was disciplined. Something was learned here, yes. And hopefully the entire department has learned something from this particular case. But I want to distinguish from the fact that the officer was not... the error that was made, that was alluded to, if there was an error in the article, was the fact that it appeared to the reporter that some secrecy was being maintained. The officer is not being paid for this at all.
Let me ask another question for clarification before I recognize all the hands. Another part of the article says that he did call for help, and he called for regular units of the police. Is that what you were saying? He called for regular units of the police. Is that part of what you want to talk to before we get more back here? He was being paid by the Ford Company, but he called San Diego regular city policeman.
There was another car involved and another officer involved, and that was called for by the officer on the scene.
Well, let's carry this further then.
Right, the relationship... Oh, go ahead just a second.
The Board of Education also pays off-duty policemen. Keep this word in mind, off-duty. These are men on their own time who wear a uniform because they volunteer to work this extra duty. They work in the stadium or in various other football fields where the city schools are involved in football games. These men are not on duty being paid by the taxpayers. They're being paid by the school administration and the school people to provide this protection at these football games. In addition, they do have the private patrolmen in attendance. And it'd be the same thing here. If at a football game you had to make an arrest, even though there's confusion off-duty, on-duty status here,
you would still have to call a car that's on duty to transport the man. If somebody was injured, you would still have to call an on-duty officer to transport them to the hospital, and you would not turn around and bill the Board of Education for providing a normal police service, such as an arrest or transportation of an injured person.
But the first police officer was not going to make an arrest. He was going to try to threaten the photographer off the scene.
No, we have completed all the butch. The guy blew it badly.
Why?
That's right. That's your perception of the newspaper article, sir.
Oh, no. I based it on a lot of personal contact.
Judge, I think what's happened here at the police department officer, you're painting yourself into a corner with a lot of sophistry. The fact is that this police officer is there as a police officer and nothing else. He couldn't be there as anything else. He's there because society needs to have traffic control when you have these special events going on. It's necessary that this be done. I don't think we should be sitting here complaining that police are used to regulate and control a situation that we allow where control is necessary. Traffic control is necessary. But don't get caught up on this business of his being off duty and paid by somebody else. That's completely irrelevant. It doesn't change the fact that the only reason he can be there is because it's necessary to have this controlled by the city of San Diego. And they are doing what I think is fair enough to do, is to have those who create the extra problem paid to the city of San Diego or subsidize the use of the services that the city has and only the city has, but it's still the city services. And you shouldn't get caught up in explaining that this man is off duty or he's working for somebody else. He cannot represent that other person when under those circumstances. He can do nothing but enforce the law. And this is where the hang-up begins, that he is in there and he is not. He's going beyond the only thing that he can do, and that is enforce the law as it is. And somewhere, it's not been properly communicated to him that he is a police officer all the time, and he can't get caught up in representing somebody else against the people whom he has hired to protect.
Have you
heard
it?
Well, I think the judge...
A little
louder,
please.
I think the judge is really pissed, but I think because he says that he's off, he's sort of rationalizing. And it's beyond the point. The image of this type of thing is prevalent and has continued to be so in police departments in most parts of the country. People are still take it upon themselves the God and law at that particular time. And I think this is the image we're talking about, whether it be in the minority community or in the majority community. It's one that's just as important as the trouble that
caused
in the minority.
You had a question, sir.
Yes, I have a question. At the same time, I want to emphasize the fact that the Strange speaks from great experience that she was on the police force in Los Angeles for 20 years. Pardon me, 20. Project on the police force and in community relations. But my question to the officer here was the fact, to get out of this corner, this bind and misunderstanding, why can't the reserve officers be used who have the authority, wear the uniform, at the same time, they're not paid by the police department anyway. You train them, they can direct traffic. Why can't they be called on and keep the regular officers out of this bind?
Mr. Chairman, we're getting away from the relevancy of this image. We're just going to keep dialoguing around out of time here on this image. I'm not so concerned about who's paying these cats, as long as they're in a uniform, they're police. Can we get back to this image factor again? Please.
All right, let's get back to that. Leon, is your comment on the image?
Well, yes, this is precisely what I wanted to say. All right. It's irrelevant who, as the judge already said, what we want to know is why did the man think he could do what he did? And if it had been me or somebody else in this room who wasn't the editor of the newspaper, who couldn't brought it to public attention, would anything have happened at all? Or would he just have been pushed aside? This is really irrelevant. And that's where the image comes.
All right, so that's still on the image over here, then over here.
It seems to me there's a difference between making a citizen's arrest and an arrest as an officer of the law, and this should be something we're aware of. Also, uniforms, do we give grade school crossing guard uniforms? Because they don't get police uniforms.
and they control traffic. I think you should clearly differentiate.
Where do we have these school crossing guards in San Diego?
I'm talking about school children. But we don't allow them to wear a standard police uniform. I think off-duty policemen should be clearly differentiated.
Well, you were back to Then we move away too readily there. Let's stick with the one image and then get back to other things. Leon, you were on the image.
Well, I said what I had to say. Right. I thought that the inspector might want to respond to that.
Right.
Give us, you know, what he thinks is happening in that case.
You want to respond to that, inspector?
Well, I can't agree that just because he's a photographer with a newspaper is the only reason any action's taken. No. If the complaint is brought to the attention of the department, I think regardless of who it is, there will be action taken if he's wrong.
Are you suggesting that it would not have been brought to the attention?
Well, this is sort of what I'm asking. Would it have been brought? How would it have been brought? And would it have been would attention have been paid to it if it had been brought, say, by some ordinary amateur photographer who'd been over there, and this had happened to him, if he said, well, I want to talk to your sergeant, or maybe he wouldn't have even said anything. He would have been intimidated, you know, by the policeman. Or even if he had had the courage to call the department and say, I was over there and the policeman told me I couldn't take pictures, what would have happened? Would you have gone out to find out and say, now look here, you know, you don't do that kind of thing?
I would say the end results would have been the same. It doesn't matter who the person is that makes the complaint. It comes to our attention. There'll be an investigation. If the officer's wrong, then you'll be reprimanded for it.
Over here.
Back to image. A year and a half ago, I was doing research at Lincoln High School. For several days I was there, I came out, and each day I noticed by the time school was ready to be dismissed, at least two police cars right down at the corner at Lincoln High School. Finally, one day I went down and asked the officer what he was there for. It seemed unusual to me to always have police cars at dismissal time at high school. And being around many other schools in the city, I knew this is not a common practice. The only answer I got from the police officer was it's about time for school to be dismissed.
They're on the image, sorry,
yeah.
George. Bob?
I have several questions on image related. I came in late, so if I'm redundant, well, I apologize. And I'm going to use the Kerner report, which I think is one of the most authoritative sources on it. And there are several areas I want to ask questions about. First of all, related to police patrol practices. I live in the ghetto region, and I know that the most common type patrol practice is what the Kerner report refers to as the roving task force. And I'm wondering what your future implication is, or what your hope is, in returning to the patrolman, where the patrolman is actually becomes knowledgeable of the community. He not only knows the elements from the standpoint of a negative point of view when he comes in to make an arrest or because he has a complaint, but he also begins to know his leaders. He begins to know the responsible people in the ghetto. Secondly, regarding image, I'm wondering if you have a problem, something like some of the schools have, in terms of competent people, policemen, who are willing to work in the ghetto. The Kerner report documents pretty obviously the fact that competent policemen oftentimes want to leave the ghetto and work in other areas, and you have rookie policemen or people who have very limited experience. A third area in terms of police protection. The Kerner report, and they mention San Diego specifically in here on page 305, indicate that the time that a policeman reacts to an arrest or reacts to a complaint in the ghetto region is much slower than the time that he reacts in say, the white community, and that many times his reaction is for petty things, gambling and for gatherings on the street, and when you get more serious types of things, there's a reluctance for the police to react. The grievance mechanisms, which relates to image once again, what method do you have available for citizens to make sure that their grievances are taken care of? The Kerner report suggests a neutral agency outside the police department, which has a combination of citizens and
policemen who will investigate and make known their findings and give the complainants the right to attorney, what have you. Policy guidelines. What policy guidelines do you have for your police department regarding interrogation, regarding unnecessary interrogation and unnecessary stops, which hurts the image, regarding arrests and the use of force? You have guidelines related to the use of a gun or related to the use of a badge or uniform. What about these other techniques? Community support for law enforcement. To what extent do you have the police in the community in other capacities other than enforcement? In the sense of working with kids, working in a positive way other than police. Recruitment. How are you getting your people? One of the recommendations is that the police use what they call a community service group of kids, say, between the ages of 18 and 21, who may not have the high school abilities or background to become policemen, but you take them and you train them. You help them to learn all of the things necessary to ultimately become a policeman. Community service function. In this area, your community relations program, what are you doing aside from public relations? For instance, I teach at San Diego High. We've dealt with the community relations program for 3 years. One of the people who came into that program had sat there as a policeman and talked about how he beat kids over the head, et cetera. It took us 2.5 years, but the principal writing to the chief and complaints to finally get him removed from that area. He wasn't helping your image, he was hurting. In fairness, there were many other gentlemen who were doing a very positive job, but the point is, here was a grievance, a legitimate one, that it took this long from establishment people to bring about the change. What about a regular citizen who doesn't have this kind of power, connection? What does it do in terms of his bringing about change?
Stop there, Bob. One more. You're touching upon all these things. We can't have all of them. Now, did you want to capitulate
all related to the and I'd like to know what their programs are, what their innovations are, what incentives are they using to keep people in the ghetto? The current report suggests that extra money be paid to officers to take extra training to keep them in the ghetto so that they can be sensitized and aware and knowledgeable of the area. I know there's a lot of questions, but this is all related to image, and I have them, and I'd like to know what your reaction is.
All right, we'll have to isolate some of these, Bob, as we go along and boil it down in a minute in terms of image. All of those things do relate to image. But let's keep talking about image for a moment before we get to the other items on the agenda. Glenn? Bud?
Oh, yes. Well, what I had to mention was kind of in follow-up with what Bob had to say and also with what Judge Lindsley had to say. I believe that in the Kerner report they mentioned that the perception in the southeast San Diego was of the police department in San Diego, whether it's right or wrong, they felt that the police acted one way in the white community and one way in the black community, and I think this was mentioned in the Kerner report. Now, I think I'm getting back to the positive aspects. There are some green sheets, Carol, if you'd like to pass some of those things around. We had a dialogue in southeast San Diego, and we called Don Davis, and he came in, and we discussed some of the problems. And one of the things that some of us were concerned about was the fact that there are very, very few positive relations with the police department. And the idea is that one of the things, there aren't enough black people on the police department. There are many reasons for this. One of the things is that many young, capable black people feel that they would ruin their image if they joined. There are some problems with testing, the fund for advancement. We know some of the problems. Now, the idea that I had here came from the fact that in Tampa, Florida, that they used white hats during times of crisis, where they used the young black men to go out in the community and actually keep the cool, so to speak. And what I was concerned in here, and some of us in the committee, was that why couldn't we involve? In other words, let's let young, capable black people into the police department. Not perhaps as patrolmen. I know the way it's set up now, as a patrolman, they have a test, and we get into that. Fine. Excuse me. We've been talking about changing test requirements.
call it police auxiliary, call it whatever you want. We just use this, and it's not too structured. The ditto that I passed out isn't structured, because I don't want it to be structured. The idea, if we had a police auxiliary where we could recruit young black people into working in the southeast area predominantly. Now, if you go down the southeast area, you see usually two white policemen in a patrol car. Now, I understand from the police department that they use two policemen in a patrol car in southeast because they say they get better coverage and so forth. But if they're going to use two, I'm saying, why not use one black man and one regular patrolman in the police car, and use a black man, call him it could be a black or it could be Mexican American, the minority person, use him as a communicator with the community. He could go out, he could, in cases of tickets, it's ordinary communications with the minority, he could go out and, excuse me, he could communicate with the minority person involved. So I would, I passed this out. Maybe some of you have some questions about it. If you have any, I'll be glad to answer. Now, how would they be selected? I think this
is important. Mr. Chairman, can we hold it right here, please?
Hold on a minute.
Get away from the agenda.
On the agenda, we have A, B, and C.
We're on A, which is promotion.
Hold up, George. On number A, we were talking about the immediate promotion of minorities to change this image.
Right.
We were not looking at the first part yet, which we just moved into, but the last part about the image. Now, are there any more discussions on establishing more about the image before we look at one kind of method that speaks to that image changing? Sheriff?
Yes, I would like to speak on the image of law enforcement agencies. I can't speak too well on the minority communities. We have very few in the county area. However, in the area of this image, I would like to have it understood. I've been in law enforcement in San Diego some 26 years. I remember when I came on the department, they gave me a gun and a badge and told me I was now an officer. And this was a phase that we went through. We didn't talk about human relations, public relations. We didn't talk about anything other than the fact that the other guy is the bad guy and you're the good guy. And it was that simple. However, I would like to bring to your attention that over the recent years, this has been recognized by law enforcement itself. We realize there's a problem. We realize that when you have 1,000 men working, you're going to have mistakes made too. Somebody's going to goof. And if you took this entire group in this room and sent them out to do a job, I would be willing to bet that somebody in the room would goof, and it might be me, I don't know, but somebody in the room would goof. We have in turn recognized a problem. We have in turn gone pretty much all out. Not complete, nobody ever does. Because as I said, we're people too, you know, we make mistakes like everybody else. But we have set up these various training programs. We won't allow a man to work now that doesn't have at least 3 months basic police training in all facets and all fields of it. We have our in-service courses where we do teach the getting along between peoples. I like to call that better than I do human relations or anything else. But it's getting along with one another and teaching people that we have to have a responsibility toward the people we're serving, the people we're working for. We spend a lot of time in this particular field and in this facet. We have a long way to go, and so does this program, and so does everyone here. But we are endeavoring to work with this. We are spending a lot of time in it, and we have gone a long ways towards that program. At the present time, I have some 38 separate officers in my department who now hold teaching credentials from the state of California so they can better teach the other officers. We have gone to this point. We make a requirement that a man must have 2 years of college education in order to become a sergeant. Now, this is trying to establish an image between all peoples that we're working for, and that is our intent. We don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. We feel in the last 20 years we've made some tremendous strides, and we think in the next few years we're going to make greater strides. With that is my comment.
Thank you. Mr.
All right, I have a question here.
You know, Sheriff O'Connor's image just dropped completely to zero when he made his opening statement. He said that they involved themselves in the county and that they didn't have many minorities. And I'm thinking of Otay, and I'm thinking of Ramona, and I'm thinking of Julian. And I'm thinking of the North County areas where we have a very significant Mexican-American population. And yet, you kind of shut it off like, you know, there's no, we don't deal with that kind of a problem too much. And apparently with all your 38 officers and this kind of thing that you have that have teaching credentials, they didn't get a very good education. And they didn't get the facts. They didn't get the idea, or you're not even sensitive enough to the fact that minority people even exist. So therefore you just shuffle them off and start talking about some other kind of an image, and I'm very bothered by that.
Can I answer that question? We have small minority groups in various areas of the county. We have about 23 Indian reservations. I didn't say we didn't have a minority group. I said we were limited. I believe that was my statement. We have also a different racial climate in the areas that we've been working. We don't have a particular problem with these people that I am aware of, having a close contact with many of these groups in these various areas, contrary to what the man has stated. And I don't feel that if they have a problem that they can't come and have a conversation with us. A year ago, I had every one of the chiefs of every reservation into my office so we could sit down and hold a very close conference to discuss problems and try to arrive at solutions. I have also designated people to work with those people, and we have been working in that way. John?
Yes, I'm a little overwrought here. I've been listening to Sheriff O'Connor, and I really can't believe my ears. When we're talking about minority groups in the county, I think it's pretty obvious that we're talking about the Mexican-American in terms of population. There are approximately 80,000 Mexican-Americans in San Diego City and County, half of whom reside in the county. Now, your image and the image of your department among the Mexican-Americans, to put it bluntly, isn't very good, especially among those who are really disenfranchised, the people that work in the fields in the North County and in the truck farms in the South Bay. The people who in the Vista and Escondido area are sneeringly referred to by the people of the majority community as the flower children because they work in the flower field. The view of your department, particularly in the East County, in the Borrego Springs area, is that they are used as strike breakers. In a recent book called Huelga, and I don't recall the name of the author, it was mentioned that your department had arrested Cesar Chavez and put him in restraint and brought him back from Borrego Springs to San Diego County Jail. This is a man who preaches nonviolence according to the Gandhi principles. Yet this was done, at least the book said it was done. I've never heard any retraction by the San Diego Sheriff's Department. Now, it's perfectly obvious that there are a great many Spanish-speaking people that your department deals with. I'm wondering what kind of training is used by your department in terms of getting your officers aware of the Mexican-American culture and the Mexican culture, because we have so many immigrants and aliens in the North County area, but they can still be arrested. So they should also be appraised of their rights, and the department should also be appraised of the various cultural idiosyncrasies that they have. I'm wondering how many of your officers speak Spanish. I'm wondering if there is any program at all that you have that makes your officers aware of these problems. And I kind of feel that the answer is probably no to all of these, since you don't have any awareness of it.
Estelle, you want to?
Yes, there were
two things I wanted to bring up is one time I was following the sheriff's car at pretty fast speed. I was hoping that a San Diego police wasn't behind me because he had two vicious dogs in the back. And I was trying to get the number of the car. I couldn't catch up with it. But going back to the Mr. Billings was talking about, I attended that trial of Cesar Chavez in Ramona. And at that time, I can't remember whether it was six or eight farm workers arrested. And they were put in this little police-covered panel wagon, I don't know what they're called, and they were stripped and naked, brought to the police station, to the wherever they were brought. And they were held that way, tied to each other for hours and hours in that hot place. And this, of course, doesn't do much for the inmates.
I'm going to have to call for a point of order here.
We're still on image, George.
I know, Mr. Chairman, but I, on the agenda, I had asked this committee 2 weeks ago if they would not discuss certain items that CORE had presented to the city here in San Diego. One of those items, which is item number 10, and it does not read like the item on the agenda. It says the immediate appointment or promotion by San Diego Police Department of minority officers in this manner: two black officers to the rank of sergeant, two black officers to the rank of lieutenant, two brown Mexican-American officers to the rank of lieutenant, and one black, one brown officer to the rank of inspector, Mr. Chairman. And that's what the hell I want to speak to. All this other
stuff
is not relevant.
George, when we get to...
It's not relevant, Mr. Chairman, this image business. Barry put it very beautiful. It's a lack of understanding of the police department, and that's what creates a bad image. They don't understand what black nationalists mean. They don't understand what the black Muslim means. They don't understand what Chicanos mean. They've got to get some understanding. That's obvious. We don't have to go through all this dialogue and get these cats to understand.
But, George, just as we were establishing what an image was with regard to the city police, we are now engaging in establishing what an image is with regard to the sheriff's department.
It's the same principle. That's what you SL just said. They don't understand, Mr. Chairman.
I think we should allow them also to speak in terms of to the sheriff's department, George. And then get back to the specifics on that agenda that went to the interim committee. So I want to continue for a moment on the image for those who have more on the sheriff's department. Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say, when Sheriff O'Connor was talking about the gun and the badge business, that, you know, you were handed the gun and the badge because you were sheriff. Well, frankly, I don't think they've come very far from that, because I'm in and out of the sheriff's department four or five times a week or more. And frankly, it's disgusting, because If we're going to have a sheriff's department that's going to represent the county of San Diego and all the people that live in it, I think they should be mixed up a bit, because I'm in there all the time and I never see a black face running around the sheriff's department. I doubt if you have any yet. Now, another thing. I used to work for the county honor camp. And I worked out at Alpine, at Camp Villa. And every Wednesday it was my duty to go down with the driver to pick up the information back at honor camp. Now, on several occasions, coming into the jail entrance from the rear where we normally go to pick up the inmates, I was locked in one of these, I don't know what you call them. When you bring a prisoner into the jail, they lock him in a cell. Well, supposedly I was mistaken for an inmate, and I was locked in that thing on several occasions. Now, it didn't strike me as very funny, because I didn't let my temper go, but I thought that these people were aware that I was working for the honor camp. The first time they did it, I let it go. The second time they did it, I got pretty mad about it. Because if I'm going to work for the county honor camp, these people should be aware that I'm coming in and out to pick up inmates and not as an inmate myself. Which goes to show you that these people are not really aware that black people could be a sheriff or something of that nature. You know? I was a correctional officer, a training correctional officer. This gave me the right and the title to go in there to pick up inmates and take them to the honor camp. But instead of me going in to pick them up, they was locking me up. So I would like to let this go out as, you know, let everybody feel this. Because if they lock me up as a correctional officer, it goes to show you that these people have no conscience of maybe a black person could be a sheriff coming in dressed like I was dressed. I was dressed like the county representative. But still in all, I got locked up, which goes to show me that you're not very conscious of the people that you serve. And the reason why you don't have black sheriffs, because someone told me, I asked this question, because I've been all over the sheriff's department. But the reason why we don't have them, because they can't pass the test. That's a lie. The same test you give for the police department, you give for the sheriff's department. Slightly different, but it's the same kind of test. Still the service examination. Any person can pass the test with a few instructions. I'm not going to say that the sheriff's department is prejudiced, because I couldn't back that up. But it would appear to me that this is a great responsibility that you have, and I think that you, as the head of that department, you take a look into this and see that this thing is straightened out.
The man who gives a test and been around the sheriff's office an awful lot, you should know that we don't give tests.
You don't?
No, sir.
Well, why does the sergeant that gave us the tour, took us all through the range where they shoot guns, and all this other training business, told us about the test? Said that the reason why the Negroes didn't weren't hired on the sheriff's department is because they could not pass the test.
Let me
we
clarify
don't give the sheriff.
Civil service.
I'm not talking to this. You right now, so you can talk to me later.
Well, he's the man who gives the test. Maybe you better talk to him.
I'm clarifying his point.
Well, even at that, it's still a civil service examination. I mentioned that.
Yes.
And the fact that this man stated that Negroes could not pass his examination is a liar, because we have a lot of competent and qualified men to pass this type of test, but they're still not hired. Why not? You see, the sheriff's department has not come a very long way from the old horse and buggy days. This is what I'm getting at.
In fact, they're wearing cowboy hats.
Yeah. And another thing, they have increased the type of guns that they're going to use, too. The caliber is bigger now, much stronger gun. You shoot to kill, not to injure, or not to apprehend, but shoot to kill. All what I'm telling you right now was told to me directly. When I was working for the Leadership Training Center, we took a tour of the sheriff's department. Everything I'm telling you right now can be validated from other trainees. And I don't think that the sheriff's department is very conscious of what he's doing.
Before we get back to the test and so forth and get a reply on that, I didn't recognize you yet.
I was waiting for Sheriff O'Connor.
O'Connor.
To pick up on the activities of the sheriff in the county areas, and I kind of like the statement that he said, working with people and the interest of the police department in gaining community support and improving relationships. I'm from Otay, and for a few months we had a Mexican officer down there. I refer to him as Mexican because the Negro, we don't refer to him as an American Negro. He's a Negro, and we like to be referred to as Mexican. But we had an officer by the name of Carrillo.
Keep the names out, please.
Okay, we had an officer down there, a Mexican officer, who had gone a long way in gaining community support and respect for the sheriff, the county sheriff administration. He had a good relationship with the young boys down there, and he talked to the parents, and you could always see whenever he was parked somewhere, the kids could go over and talk to him. He wasn't using the tactics referred to by this gentleman here as stormtroopers. After a short period of time, Officer Carrillo was transferred out of the area. The image left behind by this particular incident was this. He was a Mexican, and he was a little bit too lenient. The parents said, okay, fine. He wasn't doing the job that he was supposed to according to the sheriff's department. Therefore, they are bringing in Texans. These are people that still have this memory of the early 40s when they had recruited a lot of Texans into the Border Patrol that were enforcing the policy of illegal entrance into this country. And this is the image that exists in Otay right now, is that this gentleman was not sticking to the so-called stormtrooper tactics necessary. Therefore, they brought in Texans to maintain better law enforcement in Otay.
You're saying that's an image in Otay?
This is the image that exists right now.
All right, question over here first, and then over to
Yeah, I want to ask the sheriff. He said he had 38 men on the force who had teachers for district. Out of that 38 men, how many of them are black, and how many of them are brown, and how many of them can teach people about the black and brown people?
How many are black, how many are brown, how many can teach about the black and brown people?
Right.
I have several non-Caucasian groups represented in my department, including the American, Mexican, and different. I do not have any Negro deputies in my department.
Amen.
How many Mexican-Americans?
Well, how can they teach? Just like you said, they were supposed to be trying to teach their men to be sensitive to the black people in the black county district. If you have no black men on your force, how can they teach this?
Well, I thought that that point had been pretty well established, that we were not trying to use Negroes to handle Negroes totally. That we weren't trying to use a big thing.
Whites can't handle us, so why? Who else is there to handle?
How about
well,
you on the corner?
When I hire anybody in my department, I don't assign them to any given area. They have to take a tour throughout the department in each one of the jobs. He may be a bailiff in the Superior Court. He may be out working in an entire Caucasian section, regardless of his color, religion, politics. I'm not primarily interested in that. I either want a good man or I don't want the man. If he's a good man, I want him. And I want him to do the job, and I want him to do the job wherever I put him. And I don't think that we should make a second-rate citizen out of him by assigning to certain areas where we keep him or hide him out.
We are being classified second-rate.
You shouldn't be.
You just did.
No, I didn't. I said I refuse to.
How come there isn't any black sheriffs on your department?
Because I haven't had a candidate come to me that I could appoint on that department so far. And I don't have anything to do with
How many reprimands does Ronaldo have to have before he gets dismissed, and how many is dismissed each year?
It could be the first time, it may be three or four, depending on the type of reprimand, depending on the case, depending on the information concerned. At least five this year so far.
All right, hold on, we don't want to get too far away. He was asking about teaching on the staff. Are you satisfied with your question?
No, because I want to ask one more question. He mentioned second rate. In other words, if you sent a Caucasian, a white man, to a Negro area, he would be working in second rate, or he would be classified as second rate? Well, what did you mean at second rate?
I mean that I won't put anybody in any other category than an equality throughout the department. I want all of my men to be equal, to do all of the jobs equally and as equally well. And regardless of where I'm going to send them, I want them to go and do that job. And that's the way I feel about it.
So you just hire a white
man? No.
Jim, you have
a question. I'm asking the working for me.
You got to get the Negro.
I have an observation, Mr. Chairman. We've been talking here all the morning about things that...
images.
We can't do anything about, really. I think we need to get to the basis of this whole thing. Like one observation was made here, that in that particular section, you see, we have a problem here that we should face. The police department here, whether they want to accept it or not, whether some of us want to accept it or not, but in recent years, they are trained to control and keep down, to control, they're trained in riot control in the black community. This is the first thing. Example number one, about two months ago, there were two or three young people fighting up at St. Rita's Carnival. And I came home out by the city, and across from Lincoln High School, about three or four blocks from the scene of the children fighting anywhere, at any time. they had set up a command post. So I drove up and I wanted to know if they had the floodlights and the wagons and the shotguns drawn. And so I went over and asked what was the problem. And they said, we have a command post set up here. This is a command post. A command post for what reason? They said, well, they had a fight up at St. Rita's. I said, well, they had a fight out to the beach. We didn't have a command post. And it disturbed me greatly. I went to the chief, to Chief Rhodes, and I talked to him. I talked to Lieutenant Davis about it. The reply was that this is the procedure, the new procedure, by the police department. Maybe that is true, but we can sit here all day and talk about these things, but there is a different training procedure in the police department for the black community over against the other community. And the reason for it, we might well face it and become aware of it. The reason for it is this whole business of unrest that they feel is in the black community and that there's going to be a riot. And they have prepared themselves for it. Like you mentioned here, down in Otay. Certainly, they have the same thing. They're fighting the Spanish-American War, and then the other crowd is fighting the Civil War. This is what we're actually doing.
So we're wasting time.
Now, the only thing that we can do, and I'm not wasting time, Donald, the only thing that we can do, I feel, with any measure of success, is to go to number two and find out why we can't, and this is a national resentment. Not only is it a national resentment, why we can't establish a police review board or a citizens review board for the police department. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way we're going to get action that's going to stop some of this, you see, it's hard for me to, I'm a minister, and when I get on the political inquiry committee dealing with the character of ministers and so forth, I don't care what the complaints are that come to me, it's hard for me to levy punishment that's going to be comfortable to the complaint that this man is guilty of. I'll reprimand him, certainly. But what does a reprimand do? Nothing. But gives a man a little more leeway to think about what he's going to do next to keep from being reprimanded. But I think that we need to get a citizens review board in this city. Now, if we want to, I don't care what we call it. We need to get people from the grassroots, people from all levels of this community, and have a place for people to have some type of legal redress, that these cases can be reviewed and some action can be taken, because the things that they are preparing for may or may never happen. They are spending a lot of money preparing for riots in this city. I live here, they're preparing in other cities. But until they can get some black people on this police force in an executive capacity, first of all, that's going to be able to deal with these people. Just in Cleveland last night, the mayor, who was a black man in Cleveland, went down where the boys were that were instrumental in this particular riot and sat down and talked to them. They were his card buddies. He played cards with them. He talked their language. Now, you can't quell a riot in a city like this or any other city where these images are already great barriers. And when it starts, if it starts, when it starts, it's going to be nothing but bloodshed, and nobody's going to be able to quell it because we have nobody in executive capacity. From the city officials, the city councilmen, all white, all in the other offices are lily white. Every place is lily white, and they are prepared to keep the Negro in subjection. Now, we've been dialoguing here for this is our second year. We've had all the city officials, and I have all respect for all men. But we haven't reached any point in our dialogue where we could effectively change anything. Certainly, we've changed the conversations of people in this room, but when they go out, we still have the same things existing. Now I'm wondering, where do we go from here? Are we going any place, or are we going to just keep bring about awareness. We all aware of what's
wrong. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Black and white, we are aware. Mexican Americans, Chinese and Japanese, everything we have to do, are aware of what's going on. There are certain basic resentments that exist in all of us. And until they are broken down, then we are still going to be in this dilemma. And the best way to break them down is to start integrating these things, not for the purpose of me being up under a white man, but for the purpose of me having an opportunity to exercise some type of executive ability in this community. This is what it's all about. Now, until it happens, we're not going to do anything but set these tables and get mad at each other, see each other on the streets, more streets, and so now we're going to have to do something about it. Now, where we go, I don't know.
All right, hold on, Chairman. If we're only here for the point of talking, we're going to dialogue. No, I'm not going to stop, Mr. Chairman.
Because
we've gone away from Pacifics. Now, we've gone did this for a year and a half.
Hold a minute, George.
No, we did this for a year and a half.
I'll get back to you a minute, George. Sheriff has to leave. Did you want to make any other comments before you leave? Any other questions or just questions at him before he leaves?
All right, I'd like to direct one question to the sheriff and to Robert Dent, who represents the Board of Supervisors here. I've heard Mrs. Chacon substantiate what seems to be almost evil practices of stripping people and putting them in restraints. I'm wondering if this is condoned by your office, and if it is not, what has been done about it, what will be done about it, and how does the Board of Supervisors view this?
No one is stripped and transported by my office at any time.
That's not true. I talked personally to individuals.
Did you have a question to the
Sheriff?
Sheriff, this isn't a touchy question. May I ask one? All right. It's about the process of education and these that are trained to teach. What are the nature of the courses and the programs, and what are the subject matters that they are teaching and are being trained in? No basic police functions, with addition of first aid, this type of thing that will allow them to do the job. Again, they go into public relations and human relations. We also are teaching our men to speak Spanish wherever we can. We hold regular courses in the language, and we try to work with them in every way we can.
May I suggest that the educational process is irrelevant. You're not getting these officers trained in what they need training in, and that is the broader subjects of what society is all about. Train them on the job in police functions. Train them on the job in what they have to do. But if you're going to get into the educational institution, if you're going to have people that are called educators, have them educated in what humanity is all about.
Sorry, we've got to leave now, but you'll get another invitation to come back.
Thank you.
Hope you'll be back.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm sorry, the time is up. We want to get back to what we have here. We've had several points about what should be done, where to go, and so forth. We've established the image, but I don't think the time is wasted. We got them on top of the table. Do we want to look at the promotion as specifically given to the agenda committee that George referred to earlier? Do we want to look at number two that was raised by Reverend Osley? Do we want to look at the specific suggestion submitted on the green sheet?
What are you asking now?
Do we want to look at the first part of A and get to the specifics that was submitted by you and Tom Johnson earlier to the agenda committee? Do we want to look at what can be done by through number two? Or do we want to look at anything else in there yet? I'll recognize Anderson. No.
Wait, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to get you. Wait a minute. You're asking the question, what are we going to do? Well, we have an agenda. Now, we've been going through this before.
George, you didn't hear me.
You said, what are we going
to
do?
No, that is not what I'm referring to. And A, we've been taking the latter part of that A, image. I'm back to the first part of A and on the agenda about talking to promotions of minorities.
Question right there, Mr. Chairman.
Right.
Is there persons here that can give us an answer about promotions of minorities?
Yes, I assume so.
the inspectors here, and other members of the police department, and the civil service.
I'd like to hear from the inspector.
I move the order of the day.
All right, then. Can we do that, please?
Let's get then to the first part of A. Now, hold up a minute, George. What we've been doing is talking to the image there so we can make meaning out of the first part. So we're now still on agenda item A, 1A. And we'll get back in just a second there. A, in terms of promotion. Now, the way it went to the agenda was the immediate appointment or promotion by the San Diego Police Department of minority officers in this manner. George, this is what you were talking about earlier when I asked you to hold up. The way it went, in terms of specifics, and A was, A, two black officers to rank of sergeant, B, two black officers to rank of lieutenant, C, two brown, Mexican-American, officers to the rank of lieutenant, D, one black and one brown officer to rank of inspector. These are the specific things that went to the agenda out of which A was written. Hold up, George. Inspector.
I would like to let Buzz Biggie from Civil Service answer this, I believe. This is a civil service function.
But I think it would be well to start off what the present procedures are. We have, first of all, recruiting for police officers. We agree that recruiting in the minority community is difficult.
Why?
I'm sure there are a number of reasons.
That he is not the one to answer this question because we already procedure that you have to take a test, pass the test to be promoted. We're not interested in promotion, Mr. Chairman. We're interested in the position of the authority to make appointments. We know damn well black people flunking a test, so is Mexicans. But that still don't eliminate the problem out of the ghetto.
Let him try to answer, and you may not like his answer, but you may like it.
It's irrelevant, Mike.
Let's see, Bud, where you're going before the chair rules on it. I'm just starting off with police officers. Once a police officer is on the department, there's a four-year requirement to take sergeant's exams. In our sergeant's exams, we have it weighted, the written test. Well, then I would agree, but let's just stipulate then that what we're really talking about are the officers going through the rest. We know the routine. Let's do stipulate then. Don't get into the routine. We know the
general routine.
Most people know.
Okay.
And beyond that.
Well, let me add one more thing. We have our existing policy. We have lists established now for sergeant, for lieutenant, for captain. These lists run for 2 years. Tests are given every other year. Period.
One step.
Reverend
Archley? One step. I mean, he said that it's difficult to recruit in Southeast San Diego. I want to know, I need some further explanation because we have some boys who have been on the police force and for some reason they quit. And I want to know, what is the difficulty in Southeast San Diego?
Reverend Oxley, I didn't say it was difficult to recruit in Southeast San Diego. I said it was difficult to recruit minority members to police work.
Difficult to recruit. You're referring to Mexican-Americans primarily and Negroes.
I could expand that and say the entire field of recruiting for law enforcement is difficult. It's a nationwide problem. It's particularly acute among minority.
It's very few police forces to find anything on the police force other than a Caucasian in the various categories, whatever origin he may be, and a Negro and a Mexican. Now, I'm still wondering why is it so difficult to recruit minorities in San Diego. We're not worried about the nation now. We're talking about San Diego. What is the reason for the difficulty? It must be something that must be some obstacle. I don't know what it is.
I think there are a number of
It's not a matter of interrogating you, sir, but I just want to find out so maybe I can be of some help in the black community to prepare some black man that would be interested in police work.
This is a
kind of talk I like to hear.
Me too.
Mr. Chairman?
Just a minute, please.
When you allow an individual to answer and give an irrelevant answer, then you get off on an irrelevant question. The recruitment is not relevant. It's promotions. I don't care if they don't ever recruit another one. They got some on there right now they can promote. The question is promotions. Now, if you allow him to answer an irrelevant answer, you're going to get an irrelevant discussion.
Bud, did you want to relate to that any other way about promotions?
No.
You gotta ask the people if you're gonna promote.
All right.
Hold up.
Honestly, you were asking a question. Can we later get back to the recruitment?
Oh yeah.
All right then. We're back now to two black officers. These are just numbers here. The point is immediate promotion of minority.
That's it.
He laid it down this way. Over here first.
Okay. I have an article that is from the San Diego Union, the 7th. The 20th of this month, and I think it deals directly with this problem of promotion. It says the San Diego Police Department patrolman was suspended for 2 days last month for attending a meeting of Negro police officers while on duty. He has appealed the suspension. Officer Rucker, without official permission, attended the meeting on the morning of May 26th at the Southeast YMCA. City personnel director said a hearing date, probably sometime in August, will be set at the Civil Service Commission's regular meeting on Wednesday. The city manager said we're pretty liberal with granting permission to attend meetings while on duty. They said no permission was asked in this case. Another patrolman who attended the meeting without permission accepted a department reprimand for the incident. Rucker refused the reprimand and was suspended. Now this, I think, directs itself to the promotion policies, because the number of reprimands a man gets will disqualify him for promotion. Now, is this something that shouldn't a little more judgment be used, assessment be used in a case like this to keep a minority officer from receiving more from advancing himself on the force? Something like this, a very minor issue, I would think.
On promotion. Now, we have, to my understanding, some black officers on the force that's been on the force for 7 or 8 years, and they're still patrolmen. Now, I'm wondering, what have they been doing that got them out of line for a sergeant, at least a sergeant? You see, where you have 21 black officers on the force, and there are no sergeants, no officers of rank, there must be something wrong somewhere. I don't know where it is, but somewhere it's something wrong. And I feel that this is the place that we ought to try to straighten out the wrong. If it's the officer, then we should get to him. I think we should be objective in some of these things. If the officer is, if his conduct or whatever it is, labeled by the authorities or the people in charge, is not what it should be, then something should be done to get this officer prepared. If you have students for tests, you have special tutors to get some children ready to stay in school, to keep them in school, to get them ready for tests. Now, what is being done? Who can answer the question? What is being done about this thing to get a black sergeant? Now, you have one or two Mexican-American sergeants recently appointed.
You should ask the question, how many black officers in the last 8 years have taken the test for sergeant? Of those officers that have taken the test, how many have passed? Of those that did pass, how many under the rule of three were not selected?
We're not interested in those tests, Mr. Chairman. We keep going back. I don't care about the selection.
Hold on a minute.
I'm not interested in the selection method.
George, hold up.
We're not interested in that, Mr. Chairman.
But let me rule on it, George. Cool it. Now, is that an examination that you have to take for sergeant? It's not an appointment by the chief.
No. And they flunked the test. I'm not interested in flunking the test. They can flunk the rest of them. I'm interested in
based on black people and Mexican people being in authority.
George, we are all...
Checks are irrelevant. Look, Mr. Chairman, we've already proven that checks are irrelevant. There are under investigation throughout the United States today that checks are irrelevant. They're culturally biased. That explains why some of the blacks and Mexicans are fucking the test because they're culturally biased. Damn those tests! We got a problem in the black community right now of communication between white people in the forest and black people who are catching hell. Now I want some black people and Mexican people who can communicate with them to get out there and straighten that damn problem out and go to hell, test. Now tests are not relevant and don't get me hung up on these damn statistics and tests.
Mr. Chairman. George, out of all due respect to your point that you're making, I understand what you're saying. But by the same token, we have to, here again, be objective.
Now, that's the problem. I want to get you.
Wait, George. I want to know what is the reason for these Negroes with equal IQs and intelligence failing the test to be promoted. This is my point. This is what I'm saying now. Is there a special test for blacks and Mexican Americans? Do you have another test for Caucasians? This, we hung up on this once before about the whole civil service procedure. What is this? I mean, what happens if a man passed the test? Then the chief, I assume, is in authority to make the appointment if the man passed the test. Is this correct, Inspector?
That's correct.
If you have 10 men pass the test, then out of that 10 men, if the chief is in need of 3 sergeants, then he makes the appointment from those 10.
No, top 5. The rule of 3, if he wants to appoint 1, then the first 3 names on the civil service list is certified to him.
Mm-hmm. All right, this is all I'm asking. Now we need to get to the point of why these Negroes, why these black men can't get up in that first 5.
Inspector?
This is my point, and I don't think...
Do they have to go to the review board?
What is the test?
Promotability, not until after the written examination.
After that, then what do you do?
Examination is the first criteria.
You take the written examination, then what?
What comes after
the written? If they pass the written examination, then there is an oral examination by, 3 people?
3 people.
Where are they from?
Outside the city.
Outside the city?
Why?
In law enforcement.
Why?
Objectivity.
Let me speak to that.
All right, then, Vivian.
Just quickly.
The louder, please.
An oral examination is given.
That is correct.
Is an inside oral or an outside oral? In other words, is it people within the police department, police officers?
No, the oral is from outside of the city completely.
By police officers.
What is their racial composition of your oral selection?
We can't hear you, Vivian.
What kind of racial composition or ethnic composition do you have on your oral board with the selection of police officers?
The civil service board, much of the interviews, he would have to answer that.
Quite different civil service. So the civil service board includes a cross section of ethnic representation on the board. The reason I bring this up is that having come from a large law enforcement agency where there was the same problem existed, the civil service board always said, well, we don't have anybody representative on the oral board or a cross section of ethnic people to select from. And the police department itself, because I was working in community relations at that time, we went out and solicited surveyed the community to get representative people to volunteer to participate on the oral board. It did resolve a lot of our problems, especially as far as the oral, because the protest was the same as this, that the oral board was prejudiced. So I just thought I'd throw this in as a method of really handling a very serious problem. Civil service commissions all over the country always say that we don't have representative people. And the police department, our secretary, actually took the initiative to submit to the civil service board a long list of people in the community who volunteered to assist departments in selection. And it might be, so I don't know what you're...
Alderman and Vivian, but specifically the outside law enforcement officers who sit on that oral board, what is its ethnic racial composition?
We're talking only now about promotional exams.
Just promotional exams.
Just promotion. One side comment. We're doing what she is
talking about.
Answer her first, though,
for entrance-level jobs, but not for the promotional jobs.
Well,
to answer
for promotional,
for promotional jobs, your point's well taken.
No, I want to know, but
to the best of my knowledge,
answer her question so we can get an answer.
To the best of my knowledge, we have never had, in the 10 years that I'm familiar with it, a minority group member on an oral board from another agency for a promotional
job. All right, then we got that answer.
We've got 20 minutes to 12, and we're back on it again. Look, throughout the southern states, captains, lieutenants, and inspectors of black people are being appointed to office to curtail the problem. Down the track, Mr. Chairman! Look, if you cats keep driving, now we presented this before, we walked out as black people and brown people. We walked out until you came back with some answers. We sit here today, and you still don't have the damn answers. Now look, there's no need to talk here, Mr. Chairman. We talked about this before. We walked out before on the same subject. Black people and brown people. And you keep coming back week after week, month after month, dialoguing, down the chest. Don't you understand? Now look, if you guys are going to keep talking, I'm going to get a group. And I'm going to come down here every damn day you have a dialogue and disrupt this meeting every damn time. Now you just keep jiving. In every city council meeting that you have out here on Tuesday, Thursday, I'm going to get a group and disrupt every damn council meeting you have henceforth if you keep jiving. Now, just keep jiving. Now, if you don't believe it, that's not a threat, that's a damn promise. Now, keep jiving.
I'll be jiving, George.
George, you're welcome at a city council meeting.
Welcome, hell, to hear you talk about nothing like I am here? This came up on the agenda before. Lexing walked out. Black people, we walked out the door. We left the agenda with you. The same item we're discussing now. Then you haven't responded 1 hour early, and today you still don't have the answers. Today still no blacks are sergeants. Today still no Mexicans are lieutenants.
And George is responding to the violence in the system.
Damn right, damn this crap you got going about chess, man. The hell with it. Everybody's breaking out these testing barriers today to get black people and Mexican people represented. They're even flunking the damn test and they're still promoting them.
Nobody.
Listen, guys, shut up. O'Connor just left. He had a police boy who was third on the damn list. Popped one of the police from down the force 8 years and he didn't make the damn sheriff. The cat wouldn't appoint him. Don't give this crap about they're not doing this and not doing that. You got to jive
it. I'm critical of the sheriff's department and the system.
Yeah, the sheriff's department, get critical of the city. That's what you're representing. This came up before. Now they're doing it in the southern state. Damn, Tennessee, you got a captain, lieutenant, all over the damn place, right? In San Diego, California, don't even have a damn sergeant.
Have I said the city's perfect?
But why the hell won't you do something right if it's not perfect?
You know what? The city of San Diego will celebrate 200th anniversary pretty soon. And if we don't get a black sergeant, a black lieutenant, a Mexican-American sergeant, a lieutenant, the hell with the celebration?
You guys don't want to.
Right. The southeast area, you and Tom Hunt. We get to see you if we come to the city council meeting, if we get to see you. Now, you can't tell me that you represent 10% of the population, and you can't even have enough influence to promote one black sergeant, one Mexican-American sergeant, or somebody of that nature. If you can't do that, what are you good for? What are you talking about?
You can't change.
Why is there any reason why a list of half a dozen best qualified black patrolmen couldn't be put up and one selected via whatever meeting you propose? Get it done.
Hell, college is doing the same thing. You go to school now, the high school dropout, you can get into college. And you talking about you can't get on this damn course and then you pass the test. Damn the test a white boy made up. A black man can't pass no white man's test. Hell, you know it's culturally biased. Now we're going to sit here for 10 years and wait until you change the damn test or get him, as Red Oxford said, tutored. Damn, tutored.
And I want to see that a black, brown, and white guy each have an equal chance of being promoted.
Well, why don't you do it then? Just do it. Stop acting out being racist and do it.
But for decades, the system has been unfair, Mike.
I've been fighting the system for years.
Yeah, you keep fighting on the
same thing. Today, with the inner city thing in education, we're still playing the same old game. 4% white kids in that system, essentially. through the ninth grade last year, and we're sticking a white person on the top of the system. We got to start cutting off some of this.
But I'd like the questions answered that Mr. Butler raised to find out how many men of Negro minority population have taken the test, how many have passed it, how many have gone up on the tree, and how many have been passed over.
All right, now the chair will say something. All right. Now, I think that we can get answers to what Bud meant, what Ed asked. I want to speak to what George said regardless of the words. Let me speak to what he said, the message that he said. Regardless of the words he said, let me give you the message. So I'm reflecting the message, regardless of what anyone thinks. The message is that it's a given that you have tests. It's a given that you have procedures. It's a given that you have the oral board. The product is still one of racism, and the product should be changed. Right. That's what he's saying.
Right.
And he's saying that regardless of how you do it, that change ought to be evident. And he is saying that that change ought to be evident yesterday. Now, that's what the message is. Hold up, Mike. Now, whether we sit or go to the Civil Service Commission and get the facts and all this, Reverend Oxley also echoed the same message, and so did others. Something's either wrong with the black and brown officers, or something is wrong with the system. Now, that was the contrast that he said. He didn't put it those ways. I, as chairman, simply tried to interpret. And just a yes or no, did I interpret that sufficiently?
Yeah,
don't
know
well then. I'll give it back to the minute. The contrast was either something's wrong with the 21 officers and the 24 brown officers, or something's wrong with the system. We know the tests are given. We know the procedure. What they are speaking to is beyond that. That in 1968, regardless of how it's done, the product should be different. Now, regardless of what you might have thought of George's tirade and his screaming and all of that, beyond his words was another message. And I think we are speaking to that message, or else we wouldn't be here today. So I just want you, those who don't like that kind of display, to put it in proper perspective. He did speak to the frustration of the reality beyond that in the black and brown community, and we shouldn't forget that. Okay, Judge.
No, I didn't like George's delivery either, but I'm not in his shoes. So I have to make my delivery from the shoes in which I stand. It incensed me, but what he said was so true, that we have, whatever we have is the product of what we've had before. Now, if what we've done before has produced what we have today, then you can't continue to use what you've used before in order to correct the wrong that it has produced. You've got to do something else. You can't talk about tests that have produced irrelevancy. You can't talk about promotional practices that have not worked to produce what they should produce. And you can't, if I know these systems, I used to be a personnel officer. I was trained, part of my education was in that field. You can make a test to do anything. I also know that I once, when I was much younger, passed a written exam, civil service examination to be a social worker. But I couldn't pass the oral examination. You know why. I didn't keep my mouth shut then either. No, I am there indeed. Well, you know what I'm saying. So you've got to do something else. You've got to just forget about these procedures and produce reality. And the reality is what we have is not meeting the problem. And we have to meet the problem. We can't, these means are irrelevant. Testing, promotional practices, all of these things are irrelevant. The thing is, we've got a problem that we've got to meet. And we've got to meet it in whatever way we can logically develop in order to do it. And if that means suspend, scrap, or do anything with what we've done before, we've got to do it. There is now
practicing law in San Diego, a very, very competent black man who for some 20 years or more couldn't get past being sergeant on the police force. Now, either it takes more to be an officer on the police force than it does to be a lawyer, or there's something wrong with the practices of the police department that keep that man from becoming an officer. And that hasn't changed. He hasn't been away from the police force that long. So you're going to have to take out the scalpel and the hatchet and maybe not do it as violently as George is suggesting from his youth, but from the frame of reference in which we operate, we're going to have to change completely.
All right, the message is still there. Ben?
I apologize to the judge for interrupting him. I think this ought to be either written on the blackboard, and since the blackboard isn't here, underlined in the minutes. I think this is the thing we're not looking at. And I'd like to get some specifics on this. I imagine they're not available today, but in reviewing patrolmen for promotion, there are specific criteria used, I would imagine. And without talking about names, couldn't we talk about the 20 or as many as have applied for promotion and the specific criteria used for rejecting them? When there's a rule of the three and one of them is in the three and passed over, what are the reasons?
You're back to the other thing, Ben, you're going to get us back off again. We are saying that the product should change. In small meetings, if they wish to look at the 21 or the 24, good. But you're back off that other point.
Just trying to implement.
Yes, but
to get
we don't want to lose it.
Mr. Chairman, I'll still on this question I raised before Mike leaves. I would like to know if it would be possible, we have Lieutenant Davis and the inspector here, to talk to the police chief with some of the councilmen and see if he will, this is what we are saying, irregardless of the score that's made on the test, that we need to have a black sergeant. I'm wondering if these councilmen, if we could set a meeting with Chief Rose and talk about this matter, and he make an appointment, not an acting sergeant, but that he will appoint a sergeant with rights as a sergeant, with pay as a sergeant, and a lieutenant on this police force. Now, as I said, we've been talked here for a year and a half. Now, we're supposed to be with people who can affect change. Now, the chief is not here, but there are two men that are closely associated with the chief, the inspector and the lieutenant. I had a very long talk with the chief, and some of the things I see on this program here that presented, the chief has already agreed to do, and we're trying to work out some procedures. Now, as I said, now we can get all enthused about everything, enthused we want to get. First of all, we are fighting a racist society. Now, we have agreed on that. We've established that premise. Now, how are we going to break through? And the only way to break through is through negotiations. And I think we need to start negotiating with people who are going to do something about it and get the best man. We're not going to dictate to the chief the man he should appoint as a sergeant. They need a black man down there as a sergeant, a black lieutenant down there, and every other major city in the world or in the United States. And this is what we're saying.
Okay, hold on.
Now, I think these representatives from the police department should take this message back to the chief. We have the assistant city manager here, who his office appointed that chief. Now, if they can't influence him to do something that is needed to be done, then they made the wrong appointment. That's all I'm saying. See, I know what the slings are in appointing people and things of that nation. He's the chief, and he can do what he wants to do, and can't nobody do anything about it.
All right, Mike, did you want to respond? Not a political, if you want to respond to his question.
I want to see that everybody has equal opportunity.
No, I don't want that. I want that.
Can Can you respond? A police administrator. If I think you'd like to be there, somebody from city management and I will be there, and I think we could have a good
All right, the answer is yes, we'll set it up.
Well, now, when would they have?
Can I answer something that's going to be raised in that meeting before it's raised? I'd like to answer a question that's going to be raised when they have that meeting, and I'd like to answer it before it's raised. If I can.
All right. You want to direct it now?
And that is the morale of the police department. I can hear it now. I can hear all of the white officers or all the white policemen who say, we've been passed over, we've been jumped over, it's not fair. How can you do this to us, scrap the procedures and leave us where we are to appoint these men who aren't qualified to be over?
But Judge, that's
Let me finish.
All right.
The answer to that is what you have done has been grossly unfair to a whole segment of the community.
That's true.
And you can't be concerned about this. You can't perpetuate that gross unfairness to us, to society as a whole, because you're going to make unhappy some officers who are a product of that unfairness.
All right, Don, Mr. Keller, you were trying to get it a minute ago, and we're going to bring it to an end in a couple of minutes. Mr. Keller.
I think it's been fairly well covered, Chairman. I did feel that all of us together here probably couldn't resolve these questions that are going to arise. And I was thinking of a few people that would get together in anticipation of some of the objections and attempt to present the proper answers.
All right.
What was his thing?
He was saying that he too was anticipating what the judge said and others that have. Small group ought to get together because they can anticipate some of these questions, meet beforehand so they're aware of them, so they can get some answers like that.
But we have some answers, Mr. Chairman.
No, he's going
to
make an observation.
The problem is the answer that's existing. That's the answer to the inquiry that they're going to make. You have, they have an appointment this week. No black people on it.
Yeah, he was just making an observation.
Yeah, I understand, but we make them observations all the time. We don't do anything about it.
Did you want to ask a question, Don?
Hold up just a minute, please.
We'll be through in a couple of minutes.
What's this committee that's going out there with the This committee is going out there with the positive attitude that we're going to get a lieutenant, and all this. This is going out there to get these people.
That's right.
We're going to get something. I don't know. We might get no, but we're going after the things that we've been talking about, sergeants and lieutenants. Now, maybe we have to compromise somewhere along the way. I don't know. I don't know what to do. What's going to be, and he might just turn flat down. And first of all, we don't have a committee. We just ask. I ask the question. We get these councilmen together with some of these other people and go talk to the chief. That's all I ask. And I don't know how we're going to get the committee now, Mr. Chairman. That's in your hands.
Yeah.
You think this is what we ought to do?
I will. Don, did that answer you? Did you? Okay.
Chuck, you had a question. Hit the bullseye 9 times out of 10 over the shoulder. Pass that over.
Yeah.
Maybe they can meet with people.
Chuck, you wanted to
ask two questions. To get off the subject, for one, is when the officer that, what's the name, read off, how come he wasn't recommended instead of suspended? And was he suspended because he was too close to becoming sergeant?
And what about Calvin? Why did he leave?
Well, Mano, you want to add?
You're jeopardizing a case that's before the Civil Service Commission now. I think that after that case has been settled, it probably should be discussed, but I certainly suggest in behalf of the officer that it not be discussed.
All right,
this is not a defensive statement. I don't think it's fair.
All right, now,
I think one thing that can be answered, though, is that Officer Rucker is not on the eligibility list on this particular examination.
I might say just a little bit more here. I my own perception here is one of pleasure, I guess you'd say, at the statement that Reverend Oxley made. We are aware of the problem, and although we've been scorched for not correcting it, we have been attempting to correct it, and without revealing personality problems and this kind of thing, yes, nothing is shown to date. I think the suggestion of Reverend Oxley is excellent, and I will
attempt to get a meeting at an early date of the type that he has suggested, because I think this maybe is kind of a breakthrough as to how are we going to work at the problem, because we're faced with certain requirements of merit, and no matter what we say, these are charter requirements. We have a civil service commission that has been concerned about this very problem, and although I don't mean this to be a kind of tokenism thing, because you know I've been sitting here for the same length of time, and we are sincere in trying to work something out, and I believe it can be best done in a small group rather than to try to discuss lots of things that do get into personalities. Lots of answers could have been given today, but it would have infringed upon a personal example of an officer, or one or two, or maybe even 21. And I think if we could sit around in the room and keep working at this problem, we can see a solution coming.
Right. Would the solution be getting a black sergeant and a black lieutenant?
It would be our desire to see men promoted in our department out of the black up to these other positions. The overcoming, the problems that have to be overcome are the kinds of things I say are at this point, I feel, kind of individual, as distinguished from where we were a year ago.
In other words, but out of 21 men, you ought to be able to find a sergeant and a lieutenant. But
Jack?
Carol, I think the machinery now is set in motion so they can consider the specific problem of promotion. I'd like to talk very briefly about what we do with this discussion and where we go from here, because earlier, all of this adds up to a kind of a dismal picture of the police-community relations in the minority community, at least from what I heard, and I don't think anyone would deny that. Our aim is to improve this, and many of the questions which Mr. Russell mentioned earlier that came from the Kerner Report are very relevant and really need some answers in this community. And I suggest that we have another discussion on police-community relations, because I think we've just begun to understand what they are, and the next thing to understand is what we can do about it in a very specific kind of a way. I would like to see this meeting continue to the next meeting be on a continuation of the program that we've already begun.
All right, let's see the committee.
Just briefly, Carol, I would also like to, besides promotion policies, I would like a committee of minority leaders as well as the police and city people to examine the recruitment angle too, and I think, and also this auxiliary program. Not, I think they should examine together and decide whether it's good or bad or anything else.
All right, now the agenda committee. I think you've already indicated that if it were indicated today, we would continue this for the next time. Am I right?
I would move that we continue this.
They will then.
Isn't the city schools coming back on the 2nd?
Well, the committee will. Let them know that.
You mean the day will? You don't mean that we're going to continue police relations next week? Because we have another topic.
Well, it was agreed the last time that we would have this one, and the decision would be made after this one. But they could. The city schools could not come back before that date. So all we said then that was they couldn't come back before that date. So that date or thereafter, they're available to come back. The interim committee will make the decision and send out the notices. I have a hunch that from what's been said, that this will continue.
Mr. Chairman, the point of,
yes.
If we're going to select a committee, then I think on the agenda for next time at the top of the committee will be the report of the committee with the chief and the decision that the chief made concerning what we're talking about.
Yes.
No point in going back talking about what the Board of Education is going to do. We got something now that we're going to do. We have no committee.
We're
Board of Education.
We're going to take care of that in a second. Mr. Lawson?
Well, I've been very much impressed with the meeting today. There's no doubt that the word has gotten through. There's no doubt in my mind what the problems are. I thought your summation, Carol, was very well put on the tirade we had, and also the very reserved and very capable remarks by Reverend Oxley that I was greatly impressed with. And the essence is that you said that we want some black officers.
That's right.
And I suggest, if I might make it, that you follow through and expedite this committee that you're talking about with the what the problem is and what you recommend. The greatest thing that Reverend Oxley said today is that I want to know what I can do to help my people get promoted in the police department. Now, this makes sense, I think, to a lot of people. It is problems pointed out by Mr. Biggie and everything. We do have some problems in the administration that, as the judge said, has to be shut something. I don't say to do away with civil service, and I don't think anyone is intimating that. But we have to find some way to cure something that I think everyone in this room feels that has to be cured, and do it not last week, but just as quickly as possible.
All right,
so
Carol.
I recommend that you set up a committee, Carol. Yes,
I will.
Bob, Carol, I'd just like to say that several people have referred to George Stevens' remarks as a tirade, but I think we should realize that he's a product of this system, and we shouldn't be sitting here and judging him.
Reverend Oxley said,
only he put it a little more on how he felt, the gut level. And to sit here and say, you know, this man's remarks are nice, but the other
right.
weren't.
Right.
He's speaking to the point, and maybe we don't like to hear those remarks, but that's how a lot of people feel.
I thought that's what we were saying. You've got to be sure that we said right then.
Well, you understood what I said. I didn't
say
his shoes.
When I was saying this thing, to answer that question, maybe that was a bad selection to call it a tirade. I was talking about the method in which he put across was very effective. I thought the summation of Carol was very effective. I thought what Reverend Oxley had to say was very effective. Now, I'm not criticizing you would have selected a little bit more temperate explanation than
I think we better realize that there's some people who aren't temperate anymore.
Well, I think everyone here recognizes that, and I did too, so that's why I said that maybe the word was wrong.
Well, let me put it on the record so that it's on the record straight. Call it what you will, tirades, outbursts, or what have you. That is communication.
Right.
It's positive communication. As I said when I summarized, some might call it tirade and might not agree on all this. It's irrelevant. So for the record, we are saying that George's message is basic.
Right.
We plowed through it, and that's what we are about. So we should be sure we place the same value on his method of communicating as we place on the method of any other communication.
Yeah, the difference, George, the deacon, now I'm a minister.
Yeah. Good. But the method is just as good. We're going to have to look at the committee and advise the agenda committee that the first item will be a report from an ad hoc committee appointed to meet with the chief, etc. Got that? I will read off some names in just a moment. I'd like to meet you hereafter, right now, and set up something immediately. The last comment is over here.
Can we meet next week rather than 2 weeks?
2 weeks from now we have education tonight. They are available next week. That's what they would say.
Well, the education would come back with a response the second.
Yeah, he said that they could come back on the second, anytime after the second, but it was not set for the second because that's an off day. What is the desire to have this continued next Friday? As we did last.
That's
what I want to know. I want your reaction.
Well, determined by the time that you get for the appointment to talk to the people who can affect the change, we won't affect it.
All right, hold it right now.
I'm sure the chief is on vacation next week for 1 week.
So you're saying 2 weeks would be more?
I'll find out for sure, but I'm pretty certain he's on vacation next week.
Because of the thing involved.
I don't make it this afternoon, is it?
You don't make it until
we get to him this afternoon.
I don't know what his schedule is.
Well, let's see. Let's plow through that. If we've got another minute, can you, who can?
Carol?
Yeah, okay.
if I can make a suggestion,
okay.
Vacations notwithstanding, I'm sure that it would be much better to go on the regular schedule, wait 2 weeks, because I'm sure that the things we're after today are not going to be answered in one meeting with the chief. And I think that it's going to take several meetings, and I don't know what kind of an answer we can have in 2 weeks, but a week is a pretty darn short period of time when you're getting into this kind of a problem. I would suggest that if you want the schools next week, if they're supposed to come back on the 2nd, that it might be better to go ahead on the regular session on the 9th.
Right. You're suggesting
we're,
also that
we're willing to work fast if you want, but I... From
are you suggesting that for the chief? For the chief, then, it would seem to be better on this issue only we're talking about for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and if you inject it, in the event that we get a positive answer sooner than that, we have the addresses of the people, and we can call another meeting with the chief and get the information out.
All right.
I think it's something that needs to be out in the community.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can expedite that then, and we'll get, we'll meet here in a minute to see what we can do. Just a couple of minutes.
I want to make a comment, if I may, here. Representing the Civil Service Commission, I think the commission as a whole is very much concerned in the problems that we were talking about, and we're not necessarily the people who have all the answers. I don't even know if we have some of the answers. But we're looking into these things as much as we can, and I would appreciate that this group, this dialogue, communicate with us, either on a formal basis or an informal basis, so that we can look into some of the problems that exist in a community within the framework of the civil service rules. Changing civil service rules takes action which is not necessarily in our jurisdiction. But within the framework of those rules, I might say that I, for one, have gone out into the community and have been concerned, not only as far as the police department is concerned, but as far as other jobs in the city are concerned, as to why black and brown people are not in those jobs, in those positions, or why they're resigning. Why they're resigning. I don't have the answer. I'm trying to run down, I'm trying to meet with some of the people that I personally know. It is not an organized effort. But if someone has some information that could be helpful to us, that I can bring back to the commission, I would appreciate it.
Right. Anderson, I'm going to have to move on to the committee and ask some people to stay. All of these people will probably not be on the committee because it's long, but some on the agenda committee I want to stay. I don't want the others to stay so we can decide one or two points when we can meet, etc. Is your point on the committee or more of the regular business here?
It's on the committee. What I want to know is the officers that resign, will they be considered?
Well, let's leave that for the committee to have as one of their purposes.
I'd like to be on that committee too.
Now, for the next meeting, next week was an off time, and the Board of Education was to come back. They indicated that they'd be glad to come back next week, even though it's an off time. The committee, the interim committee, since we cannot carry on this for 2 weeks, would you schedule then the education committee for next week? Is that what I'm hearing? Or are we saying 2 weeks from now, regular meeting 2 weeks, and this back, and no special meeting next week? What am I hearing?
Well, that we put on the bottom of the agenda that we tentatively set Dr. Hall's thing for tonight.
Okay.
But that all depends on what occurred today. Now, Dr. Hall just gave indication that he was ready on the 2nd or the 9th. But if this were to continue, I'm sure we could contact Dr. Hall in September rather than get a special meeting. We won't be able to effectively get a meeting set up for next Friday, put it that way.
All right. Bob, on that point.
You say you won't be able to?
If Dr. Hall's ready on the 2nd, I would recommend that you have your meeting there. We've had 3 meetings on education. And the thing is, there are people who are can come on the 2nd.
They'll
be in a position to, we'll be in a position of dialogue.
Okay.
When you start delaying. And also, these things are fresh in our mind that we talked about in education, you know. For the record, I don't think we should straggle things out. I acknowledge this is a police thing that's very important, but I think we ought to stick to it.
Which
another reason the budget at the Board of Education is being considered next by the 6th, and some of the things that come out of here may have some bearing there. Maybe.
All right, now we're talking, and before you make a motion, we're talking to the fact that Dr. Hall indicated they would be ready next week and willing to come back, even though it's a special meeting, is what we're talking about. On that point alone, itself.
I wonder if the interim committee is aware that there should be some parents that have been involved in the ESL program called, and I can't specifically give these names, but there has been some static in that area, and they should be here if they're going to
The interim committee, can you have a meeting next week in terms of George Hall and the program that we started? Is the room available?
There's a discussion on that railroad, yes or no action. Last week there was a special meeting. So what we're talking about here is going for it. If we have a special meeting next week again, we would go for 5 weeks straight with meetings every week. Those of us who are on the interim committee have to meet in between these other meetings too.
Yep.
Now there are many obligations. The things we are discussing are very present. I think that we are all aware of that. However, the commitments become extremely heavy, and rather than break down a pattern that we have established here and have 5 meetings in a row without missing a single Friday, my recommendation would be to come back 2 weeks from now to talk about the report dealing with the subject that we have talked about this morning, and to defer the schools and Dr. Hall's report until a later time.
All right, that's the committee. Does anyone on the committee disagree with that? You on the committee, you would disagree.
Yeah.
What is your?
I feel that possibly even there with the meeting there 2 weeks from today that is concerning there with the police department or with the subject we're doing here, we probably necessitate us meeting again because it's going to be a very sensitive deal. But I think that really that we can get together. We can mobilize there enough there to also there go with this meeting here next week here on the education department because it's just as important. Just might mean a little extra work. But if we want to solve these problems, it means we're going to have to work harder. That's all.
Ed, you're on that committee. Excuse me, Ed Butler. Well, we'll come back to you in a second. Any others on the committee? So we need that recommendation. Talking to next week being education, the following week being police, you have a point on that.
Well, I'm on the committee, but I would strongly urge that we come back next week with education and keep the police from going, because I think it's the psychological moment is now.
Yeah.
While people are thinking about it while it's on the mind. And I think nobody's time is so valuable that they can't come back and work on this problem.
All right, we heard that the committee
We are putting other people under the gun. We say we want to hear from you next week. We don't care what your problems are. Get together and talk about this problem and get back and talk to us next week. All right. We've got to be prepared to do that ourselves, even if it's uncomfortable here. We can't say to other people, we want to meet with you on that date. We can't say to other people, you have this deadline. It's your problem how you meet it if we ourselves don't aren't willing to set early deadlines for ourselves.
One more comment on next week, and we're about
to. I believe we could give the interim committee a charge to attempt today to set up one or the other of these two groups for next week.
Well, we have it. It's not one or other.
If we can clearly establish this, then we're all.
No, it's not one or the other.
Education.
We've already ruled out one. Education is all we talk about for next week.
The discretion be left in the hands of the chairman.
All right, then the discretion is that we will authorize the interim committee to set up a meeting next week for the education.
All right.
Sweetwater? Well, that's the city.
Will we have a meeting in the meantime?
May I, before anyone stand up, may I have the following people just sit tight a minute? And may I ask that all the others, for our sake, kind of mull around outside for a few minutes instead of in here so we can get right down to one or two specific items. These people just sit tight, please. Mike Amador, John Billings, Oakley, Leon, Glenn Copeland, Ed Butler, Jack, did Jack leave? Bob Russell, Barry, Bud, Susie, and Glenn, the other Glenn on there. And that's the judge. And the judge. We'll get with you.